Good evening. As we begin, I would like to remind you to please silence or turn off electronic things that may make noise. Thank you. On this night, set apart from all others, let us be together in a spirit of reflection. Let us reflect on how full our lives have become. Through learning and living together in this unique and beautiful place, through the relationships that have so enriched who we are and who we are becoming, through the difficult moments, the joyful and funny moments, and the moments of surprise, through supporting our children, our siblings, our grandchildren, and our students in their experiences at K College, and through the profound act of learning from all that has happened during the past 4 years. As we cast our hearts and minds to this special final evening, the last evening this class will spend together at Kalamazoo College, let us acknowledge our gratitude for this time. Let us invite nostalgia to wash over us. And let us fully be here and in this moment now.
Thank you. Good evening. It is my pleasure to welcome you, our 2010 graduates, families, faculty, staff, and friends to our baccalaureate service. Baccalaureate is a medieval Latin term used to refer to the degree that our graduating students will receive tomorrow. And it is a term that refers to a traditionally religious ceremony held immediately preceding graduation. It has long been an important and joyful celebration in the life of a college. Our modern baccalaureate ceremony this evening is a broad and personal reflection and celebration of the value of a K education. Our college motto is Lux Esto, or Be Light, and we hope to shed some light on the unique qualities and lessons learned as members of this community. This ceremony has student fingerprints all over it in the planning, organization, and invitation of speakers and performers, and this is exactly as it should be. I want to make two corrections to the program and bring your attention that Dr. Eric Barth in mathematics and Mr. James Turner have both recently been promoted to the rank of full professor. We are glad that you are all with us tonight. Welcome to this reflection and the celebration.
Do you have any advice for those of us just starting out? By Ron Kirchy. Give up sitting dutifully at your desk. Leave your house or apartment. Go out into the world. It's all right to carry a notebook, but a cheap one is best, with pages the color of weak tea and on the front a kitten or a spaceship. Avoid any enclosed space where more than three people are wearing turtlenecks. Beware any snow-covered chalet with deer tracks across the muffled tennis courts. Not surprisingly, libraries are a good place to write. And the perfect place in a library is near an aisle, where a child a year or two old is playing as his mother browses the ranks of the dead. Often he will pull books from the bottom shelf, the title, the author's name, the brooding photo on the flap mean nothing. Red book on black, gray book on brown, he builds a tower, and the higher it gets, the wider he grins. You who asked for advice, listen. When the tower falls, be like that child. Laugh so loud, everyone in the world frowns and says, shh. Then start again.
Benat by John O'Donohue. On the day when the weight deadens on your shoulders and you stumble, may the clay dance to balance you. And when your eyes freeze behind the gray window and the ghost of loss gets into you, may a flock of colors, indigo, red, green, and azure blue, come to awaken in you a meadow of delight. When the canvas frays in the korak of thought and a stain of ocean blackens beneath you, may there come across the waters a path of yellow moonlight to bring you safely home. May the nourishment of the earth be yours. May the clarity of light be yours. May the fluency of the ocean be yours. May the protection of the ancestors be yours. And so may a slow wind work these words of love around you, an invisible cloak to mind your life.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you. Good evening, guys. I'm speaking today not because I'm a straight-A student, and not because I'm a civic engagement scholar, and not because I've discovered the meaning of life. Because those aren't true anyway, actually. The reason I'm here is that I represent something greater than me, the class of 2010, the proud class who gave birth to the library streakers. The class who witnessed the complete transformation of the Hicks Center, and the only class whose seniors were officially pardoned from the LEC requirement. In reflecting on today's theme, which is light, I thought about the natural cycle of sunrise and sunset. Every year at K-College, the daylight hours grew shorter in winter and longer in spring. Thus, patterns of light characterized each season of the year. We knew it was winter when the sun set at 5:30 p.m., and spring when the sun set at 9 o'clock. It was the same campus, the same sun, but a distinct season. So we have gone through 4 years at Kalamazoo College, but each year has been unique. What I've done is I've paired each year of ours with a motto, which, in the words of Jonathan Safran Foer, illuminates the attitude or the experience of our class at the time. So think of these mottos as the daylight which characterized the seasons of our lives. First year's motto, for better or for worse. As first years, we were confronted with many new situations and challenges, and there was not always a clear path to take. We dealt with questions such as, with our roommates, do I treat you like a friend or just someone I live with? Or with time management, which of the three S's will we choose? Sleep, study, or socialize? And with dietary decisions, do we go for the extra cookie or fight Depression 15? Tough choices, I think you would agree. It was not a question of right or wrong for many of these things, it was, or even the advice our parents had given us, but of personal preference. Discovering how these choices would play out in the long term was left up to us, for better or for worse. For example, I remember in the spring quarter of our first year being begged by a group of friends to join them at the local salsa bar on Thursday nights. I refused for weeks, insisting, guys, I have to study. I can't do it. I know it was lame, but I finally accepted, and I actually fell in love with Thursday salsa nights in downtown Kalamazoo. The problem was that the only time left for Friday's homework was after coming home from dancing in a little window from 12:30 to 4 a.m. So I don't know how I did my homework for 10 o'clock class the next day. I don't know how I got it done. But the point is, I took the risk of sleeping through class to spend time doing something I've never done before with people I would not have hung out with otherwise. And that turned out to be a wonderful for better. Sophomore year's motto, something's got to give. We all know the consequences of having a junior class which is abroad and a senior class which largely lives off campus. It means the sophomores bear the weight of most on-campus clubs and organizations. As first years, we could experiment with new clubs and try new things on for size. But when sophomore year rolled around, we found ourselves not only without a legit quad stop, but also without the ability to do everything that we thought we could. Clubs in which we were once mere Padawan suddenly demanded new leadership, and our resumes needed buffing up. Science classes called for TAs, and service learning courses needed new students to carry on the torch. The result? A sophomore class spread very thin. It was then we learned that in the midst of all the busyness, something had to give. Though events such as intramural sports, Freylon, and Crystal Ball allowed us to vent, we couldn't do everything and keep our sanity. Sophomore year may have corresponded to the short, bleak days of winter, but it laid the foundation for new growth and experiences to come. Case in point, junior year, which motto is, there's a first time for everything. Now, as difficult as it is to summarize study abroad in just a paragraph, I'm going to try, and this is why. Because completing a sip teaches us that nothing is impossible. On study abroad, we encountered a world where few things were the same as at home. As a class, we spread out from Australia to Spain and from Thailand to Chile. In these countries and others, we tried many things we could hardly imagine doing at home. Get this. In Ecuador, some students underwent a cleansing ritual where a local shaman splattered them with egg yolk and recited chants. In London, students lost themselves in the tube, one of the world's most extensive subway systems. And in China, we mastered the ancient Chinese art of the squat toilet. Sorry. Those of us who chose to stay at K witnessed Obamamania and also helped to establish the Arca Center for Social Justice Leadership. Senior year's motto, soak it up. I think we can all agree this year has been stressful. We've all been cranking out job and grad school applications, double-checking our graduation requirements, paying the library fees, and juggling the normal course load of a student at K. But this year, I sense that many of us have chosen to relish what we love about Kalamazoo College. We have taken classes purely in our field of interest. We have tried a new sport or activity just for fun. Many of us have spent consecutive Thursday nights at Waldo's, enjoying good times with good friends. With the realization that there's little time left at K, and that being stressed out is no way to spend that time, we have chosen to soak up what we really love about this place. Next year's motto. Anyone? The question I want to raise for us today is this. How will you summarize the first year or years you spend after college? Looking back, will they be times of warm summer sunshine or fleeting winter daylight? Now, I'm obviously not Professor Schmeichel, so I don't have the wisdom from years of life experience to offer. But what I do know, however, is that we have a choice. We can either let life happen to us, or we can happen to life. I suppose this is a question each of us will have to answer. But while we're still deciding, let's not forget about these experiences we had at Kalamazoo College, and tomorrow, let's celebrate together this great day of accomplishment.
Good evening. To be light, or lux esto. As a religion professor, I immediately think of the era or process of enlightenment, whether an 18th century European philosophical movement or the ending of one's karmic cycle of life and death. Enlightenment always involves the pursuit of knowledge. In the Gita, it says, one gradually attains tranquility of mind, or enlightenment, by keeping the mind fully absorbed in the self by means of a well-trained intellect and thinking of nothing else. You've had 4 years to train your intellect. Although I know that not all of you have thought of nothing else, I know that each of you, in your own ways, have worked to train your mind, to enlighten yourselves, to be light. But that journey does not end. You have all chosen a specific dharmic journey. And as Krishna counsels Arjuna, that is something that you cannot shy away from or hide from. By choosing to come here to Kalamazoo College, you all, like Neo from The Matrix, chose the red pill. And Morpheus was right. After this, there is no turning back. You took the red pill, the school less chosen. The classes that challenged you, and that professor that might have even scared you a bit with the insane amount of reading she assigned. You're in Wonderland, but you haven't even gone a tenth of the way down that rabbit hole. That is a journey you'll have to continue outside the safety of Humphrey House, Dewing or Dow, and it is a journey of lifelong learning. In other words, you may graduate tomorrow, but your education does not stop. You have been given the tools for lifelong learning, so continue it, and continue to enlighten yourselves and be light for yourselves and the people around you. So, how do we do this? Read, listen, or watch the news. I know I sound like a broken record, but figure out what's going on in the world beyond the borders of Kalamazoo, of Michigan, and the U.S. And for the record, news is not the most recent feed on Facebook, nor is it the latest post on Perez Hilton. More than that, be critical of all news sources. Sean Hannity, Keith Olbermann, Frank Rich, they all have their agendas and are very skilled at highlighting tidbits from the day that will support their agenda and omitting those facts that do not corroborate their rhetoric. Don't ever blindly believe everything you hear. Follow the sources, and more importantly, as I hope I've taught you, commodification is the engine of our time. So always follow the money trail. To be light means to be continually curious about the world, to be a critical thinker, to be an open listener, learner, and leader. It means to be the public intellectual. You all have the skills to research and continue to be this intellectual. I'm not saying that you have to go and write more research papers, but keep abreast of the recent scholarship and research in your major or minor. And if you ever feel lost or unsure of what to read, email us. I promise I will always have a reading list of 10 to 20 books ready to go, especially for my most beloved majors and minors. Finally, those of you who have taken my classes, you know that I will stop you if you say Iraq or Iran. And I've corrected you when you've chosen to use Wikipedia for your sources of knowledge. You can do the same. The other Gandhi, the more enlightened one, once said, and I quote, "A no uttered from the deepest conviction is better than a yes merely uttered to please or worse to avoid trouble," end quote. In other words, if you hear someone profess something that is wrong, or if you witness a minute or massive injustice, speak up. Have that confidence to correct that mistake. Have the courage to disagree, and then dazzle all with your well-researched arguments that you have because of all the news you've read and all those books you continue to read. To be light means that you should continue to enlighten yourselves past this moment. It means that you should take seriously the charge of lifelong learning so that you may continue to radiate beyond the bubble of Kalamazoo College. Thank you.
Good evening. When I studied abroad in Spain, I made friends with several Spanish students, a few of whom are here tonight. These students wanted to learn everything they could about college life in the U.S. One day, a friend and I were at one of our Spanish friends' apartments. We had been talking about the differences in our two cultures, and our Spanish friend paused for a minute, looking embarrassed. Finally, she asked, "Is your school like High School Musical?" I answered that, of course it was. People sing and dance down the hallways of Olds Upton and Dewing, excited that there's a basketball game that day. And the star of whatever sports team is in season always smashes jock stereotypes by starring in the school musical. I do not need nor want to recount the plot of High School Musical for you, as I have clearly just exhibited my wealth of knowledge on the subject. Real life at K is not the reality of the Disney Channel. Another example of this, which is potentially less incriminating for me, is when I mentioned to my Spanish friends that I was a cheerleader. "So, are you really popular?" they asked. Cheerleaders on TV are always really popular. This question, which I got multiple times, never failed to make me laugh. Firstly, K-Cheer is far from the stereotypical cheerleading squad. We don't hold tryouts. Our uniforms include turtlenecks. And most of us actually do pretty well in our classes. Secondly, I wouldn't even know how to define popular at K. Is it belonging to or being in charge of the most clubs? Having the most acquaintances? Saying hi to the most people as you cross the quad? Knowing before Saturday afternoon what everyone is doing on a Saturday night? Or is this so-called popularity just the plight of the average K student? When I was first coming to K, I had similar misconceptions about college as my Spanish friends did about American students. I expected to be meeting new people all the time, to not have to study as much as I did in high school, and to join every single club I could get my hands on, and maybe even start a few of my own. This last part is mostly true. As most of you can probably relate, I did join way too many student organizations and ran several of them by sophomore year. As for my other two misconceptions, my first year, I met new people constantly, at least for the first few weeks, and my classes weren't too bad until I realized that I was taking more than just my freshman seminar. However, I never expected to know the majority of people on campus by face, if not by name, year, major, roommate, and hometown. I also never expected to have to do homework or to actually have to say no to joining student organizations. Now graduating, I find that I have had lengthy conversations with many of you, know where most of you went abroad, and might even have an anecdote or two in which you are featured. That makes me sound really creepy. But I know that most of you are nodding inwardly because you recognize this in yourselves as well. That could mean a combination of things, one being that we all spend far too much time on Facebook. But I'd prefer to think that it shows what a unique light this community has shown on us over the past 4 years. To say that Kalamazoo College is a unique place would be an understatement. This community has had an immense impact on who we are now compared to who we were when we entered this first years. When trying to talk about the KZOO community to people who do not go here, I find that to adequately explain it is nearly impossible. For example, cross a K student on the quad and ask them how they're doing. Instead of the customary, fine thanks, how are you? You will more likely get a eighth week. Every K student knows when the quarter gets busy, and saying the week number is more than enough to convey that feeling. It was not until this year that I realized a very important thing about this school that I have come to think of as my home. K is not for everyone. Seems obvious, right? Well, to me, it wasn't. I had no idea that I was not the prototype for the typical college student, but rather the typical K student. Asking my friends from home who have visited me here, they say, yeah, you and your K friends are totally the same type of people. Perish the thought. There is no other place that has the same community that K has provided for all of us, and in no other place would we shine as the people we have become. The light that Kalamazoo College sheds is a light that is essential to this world. I will miss it dearly, and I know that I will never forget all of the awesome, hilarious, and frighteningly true things that make up the stereotypes about this incredibly unique and wonderful place. Thank you.
There's an Old Testament story that some of you know about the prophet Elijah. And Elijah has some big decisions to make. And he goes onto a mountain to look for a sign, hoping to see the light. And while he's on the mountain, there's a big storm with rain and wind and thunder and lightning and an earthquake. I can imagine what the locals were like. Michigan weather, wait 5 minutes and it'll change. But the story goes on to say that the Lord was not in the wind or in the thunder or in the earthquake. When the storm was finished in that silence, Elijah realized what he needed to do. he saw the light. In the King James Bible, that moment is called hearing the still, small voice. I have a confession to make. When I have a big decision to make, I hear a voice in my head. And it's often not still or small. If you don't mind, I'm going to tell you a few things that the voice says. You're a math professor. You'll sound silly giving a baccalaureate speech. Tell them you won't do it. Sometimes it talks to me about big things. Like, if you leave a job you love for one that's more prestigious, people will respect you more. Sometimes it keeps me from being brave. It says things like, don't speak up. You'll sound like a troublemaker. Sometimes it says, don't tell anyone about the voices. But I mentioned decisions because this is a time in your lives when there are a lot of decisions to make. And I mentioned the voices because I suspect that when they're not working on me, maybe they're working on you. Now, Elijah's storm reminds me of the voices. One thing I've learned about them from my intimate acquaintance is that they don't really care about me. They seem to care more about them and they and what they'll say. I found after long practice, a good way to counteract them is to ask the people that care about me and that I care about and say, what do you think? What do you think is best for me? And often I get good advice. Sometimes I follow that advice, but sometimes I have to follow my own counsel. But I can trust that the people I care about, the people who care about me, trust my judgment. So in those moments when I've got to decide maybe even between doing something I think is right and something that the people who love me think is right, you know, how do I reach a judgment that makes me feel at peace? I think it's something like the still, small voice. You know, sometimes the still, small voice is just realizing what comes easily to you when you're working like crazy on things that are really hard. Sometimes I think the still, small voice is saying, here's a person that loves you, even though they know the truth about you. Sometimes I think the still, small voice says, this thing that makes you feel gratified, stick with it. I like the still small voice. I like to think that the still small voice is something like our best judgment, our most considered reasoning. I like to think that our still small voice is something like our honest assessment of ourselves. And I like to think that in your thunderstorms or your earthquakes, there's a still small voice in you waiting to show you a sign, to show you the light.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. let it shine. And so should you. And you. In fact, all of you should let your light shine. No doubt it is your light that has made this place a whole lot brighter. I have noticed it. And when I stand with my classmates, my light grows a little. The class of 2010 is and will always be a renewable resource in that way. Being one of the few class members not to go on study abroad, I know how weak a junior class's light could have been. That's not true for the class of 2010. When our fellow classmates were away speaking multiple languages and playing the cultural game of give and take, the few of us that was here took on leadership roles. We helped to implement new student commission policies and set higher standards for our peers and classmates in the most socially just way we know how. And when our proud world travelers returned, we welcomed them with open arms, embracing their experiences in Freyline dances, open mic sessions, and the individualized projects that I'm sure we all love doing. I believe that we are a class that feeds on the success of our peers, not in a competitive way, but more so in a way of community betterment, if that's even a word. We want to see each other do better and be better. That is what I mean by renewing each other's energy. We are for sure the class of change. It is our class that knows the beginnings and the ends of the Hicks renovation. It is our class that saw both the homeland and the international effects of the first African American president. It is our class that has worked on, debated about, and helped create social change personally and internationally. We are the change that we seek. I have sat at many graduation ceremonies where they ask the graduates to reflect on the growth and the change that has happened within us. While that is important, I would rather you think about the change and growth that you have made on others and the institution which we are graduating from tomorrow. Man. We have taught people how to lighten their carbon footprint and still leave a mark of impression on the world. We have deepened the relationships with our faculty, staff, and peers through deliberative dialogues. We have broken football records. We have went to soccer playoffs. And we have continued excellent performance in the tennis arena. Can you see how important your light is? I have all the faith that if you do not know it now, that someday you will. Because as we go out into the world, our lights will be shining. You will be able to see the work that we have done. Fuller will be communal, tactful, and oh so creatively new. With our talent for change and our ability to breathe creativity, the class of 2010 is not one that will be easily fade into darkness. As we go our separate directions, graduate school, Teach for America, foreign countries, or even back home, when we return to each other, our lights will grow a little brighter. It seems that we came to this place called Kalamazoo College with a secret pact to see each other through. We were able to work on athletic teams, group projects, and student organizations together. We are bound by a shared light, one that steers away from the norm and fosters community. You can see it in the lunchroom, groups of friends sitting together, sharing laughter and criticism at the mural on the wall. You can see it in service learning and student organizations as students go out into our community to do whatever they can to make it better. You can see it on every sports team. Win or lose, they embrace each other. They study together. They even hit up the party together. We have dated, broken up, and still remain friends. We have cried and laughed together. We have both given and taken away each other's stress over homework, exams, and the global implications of social policy. Yet through it all, we have made it together. Renewing each other's light off the energy of our neighbors. Yet that's why I say, no matter where you are or where I am, know that you can recharge your light with me. Because I know that I can do the same. As a proud member of the class of 2010, we can count on each other to be the change that we seek. So if you need to renew your energy or just brighten your light, you can find me somewhere singing, "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine."
Aren't you gonna be singing that all night long? When I heard I was going to follow Eric, I had to be good. Helen Keller once said, "Keep your face to the sunshine and you will never see the shadow." As our day now fades into shadow, we are reminded that without one, we do not have the other. It is the yin and yang of our existence. We can't see the stars until the darkness comes. Stars, those little white sparkles my elementary art teacher told me to leave behind whenever I colored or painted a picture. As a matter of coincidence for the class of 2010, President George H.W. Bush's Points of Light program was introduced at his inauguration and recently celebrated its 20th anniversary with President Obama in attendance last September 11th. Seniors, you came into this world as tiny points of light that only continue to grow. So, in asking us to keep our face to the sunshine, Helen Keller was speaking of the power of hope and optimism and the metaphorical power of light to overcome darkness where we cannot see or understand, the darkness of our unconsciousness. My original intent was to darken the chapel, but then I realized it wasn't going to be dark at 8:30. So it wouldn't have really worked. So please close your eyes and create for yourself a metaphorical darkness or unconsciousness for a moment. There's plenty of shadow to occupy our thoughts. Poverty, war, corruption, violence, hunger, pain, ecological disaster, injustice. But you are the light. When you accept your opportunity to be light, to become enlightened, to enlighten, or maybe just to lighten up, it is your relationship to the light that will be the effect. Let me show you what I mean. Again, when I heard I was following Eric, I knew I needed a few props. They're here somewhere. Oh, look. A flashlight. I'll use this flashlight. When we were kids, we used this flashlight to create fear. Tell ghost stories. Then we learned how to perform at music or sports or in the classroom. And we shined it on ourselves. And we sought the light on ourselves. Then we got older and we learned how to drive. And we realized the power of headlights. Where you can never see farther than your headlight, but you can go coast to coast with just that. We use the light to this little light of mine. We use it to advertise movie openings and theater events and ask people to come to us. We use it to light it up our houses for the purpose of keeping away thieves, to give an illusion of occupancy. What's my point? We grow up believing that we need to shine light on things, when the real truth is that to address the shadows, to be light, as our motto implores, we must allow the light to shine through us, and that it's your relationship to the light that causes the effects. One moment. I think I have more here. There's a bit of shadow on my heart. And the things that we do, the real truth is that to address the shadows, to be light, we must allow the light to shine through us. And let's say this prism is your heart. Again, aging and all its requisite experiences are the process of purifying yourself. Or the process of purifying yourself, your beliefs, and your heart to become a conduit for the truth. Any consistent practice like study, meditation, contemplation, religious practice, exercise, tending a garden, raising a child, committing to a team, dealing with illness, or just quietly showing up to work for 30 to 40 years to feed your family can be glass cleaner on a shadowed heart. Or as I read in my Gazette this morning, Travis Smith, where are you? Showing up for service learning can purify your heart. And so now, that which you previously used to create fear in others will now shine through unimpeded and cause amazing effects through you and around you. Little points of light, unforeseen, unimagined, brilliant, indigo red, green, and azure blue. Colorful, clear effects, effects that couldn't be seen or predicted previously. New little white sparkles. May the light guide you and also shine on you and through you, class of 2010. May you and your families be blessed as you go forth from this place, this Kalamazoo, this spark of light on the earth, a lighter, if you will, to your candle. Take your candles out, light your own fires, create your own light, and let it shine radiantly through a beautiful, peaceful, pure, loving, and joyful heart. Lux esto, Kalamazoo.
Thank you. as our time together at this baccalaureate service comes to an end, I know nothing more fitting than the words of the Reverend Joanne Saunders. Each beginning demands an ending. Every ending promises a beginning. Now is such a time. Go now. May passion inspire you. May injustice trouble you. May hope comfort you. May friendship nourish you. May you sometimes get it right. And may you laugh when you don't. May peace surround you. May love permeate you. May gratitude overwhelm you. Go now, knowing that good, thoughtful, and loving words have been spoken for you in this remarkable place, filled with friends, with teachers, with mentors, with wisdom, with hopes, and with dreams. And as you go, may you find the right questions to ask. May you give more than you receive. May you use the depth of your knowledge, the store of your compassion, now and in the days to come. Go now in peace. Live simply, gently, at home in yourselves and at home in the world. Act justly. Speak honestly. May the love that overcomes all differences, that heals all wounds, that puts flight to all fears, that reconciles all who are separated, be in us and among us now and always. Will you please join me now in the singing of the Alma Mater?
friends, may God bless you with a restless discomfort about easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that you may live deeply within your heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, and the exploitation of people, so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer from pain, rejection, starvation, or war, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and to turn their pain into joy. May God bless you with just enough foolishness to believe that you really can make a difference in this world, so that you will be able to do what others claim cannot be done. And one last time, I will bid you go in peace and share that peace with all you meet. Amen.